WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Michael Caine received an Academy Award nomination for his starring role in The Quiet American, adapted from the novel by Graham Greene. Caine plays a veteran British journalist living in Saigon before the start of the Vietnam War. Brendan Fraser co-stars. Film critic John Powers has this review.
A couple of years ago in Ho Chi Minh City, I was heading up Dong Khoi, the legendary downtown street that, like a happy love affair, begins at a hotel and ends at a church. A six-year-old boy followed me, crying, "You Wong Grand Gri, Quai American, Quai American." I was puzzled until he forced a book into my hands, a smeary bootleg paperback of The Quiet American, the 1955 novel that became famous for predicting the U.S. disaster in Vietnam before it had even begun. Grand Gri was Graham Greene. A few days later in Hanoi, I heard that Philip Noyce had just finished shooting part of The Quiet American there. I was surprised, for I wondered who would want to see it. But as we move toward war, the movie feels more relevant than it would have at any point in the last quarter century. You see, its title character, Alden Pyle, is a quintessentially American type, the likable do-gooder whose actions show how much damage can be done by those convinced they're on the side of the angels. The story is set in 1950s Vietnam, when Saigon was still Saigon. It focuses on Thomas Fowler, that's Michael Caine, an English reporter who wants little more than to live out his days with his mistress Phuong, played by lovely Do Thi Hai Yen, who can't act a lick. Suddenly, his romance is threatened by the arrival of Alden Pyle, played by cartoon handsome Brendan Fraser, a seemingly naive American optometrist who we gradually come to see in a very different way. As the two men battle for Phuong, Western artists love to portray Asia as a woman, it becomes clear that she embodies a bigger historical issue. And here, Pyle and Fowler have it out.
Tell me that you don't mean any of this. Tell me that you were only obeying orders. Or tell me that after what you saw in the square, those children who did nothing and hurt no one, tell me that you were so confused and horrified at how brutal and insane these actions are. Tell me how your love for Phuong has caused you to have some doubts.
But it is because of Phuong that I am even more determined. Let's just look at Phuong, this beauty. This daughter of a professor, taxi dancer, mistress of an older European man. Well, that pretty well describes the whole country, doesn't it? Look, Thomas, we are here to save Vietnam from all of that. What happened in the square today makes me sick. But in the long run, I'm going to save lives.
In a way, The Quiet American is a double act of restitution. First, for the original 1958 adaptation, which enraged Greene by flipping the story so that Pyle was the hero, not a villain. Second, for director Noyce, who's making his way back to serious filmmaking after years of doing Tom Clancy thrillers with Harrison Ford. Perhaps constrained by his regained earnestness, Noyce has produced a film that, for all its solidity, feels muffled and over-reverential. It's professional, not passionate. I kept wishing it had more of Greene's acrid intensity, which always preferred struggling sinners to the untroubled devout. Still, the movie holds us thanks to the ravishing cinematography of Chris Doyle, who shoots Asia better than anyone on Earth, and the work of its two lead actors. Though a bit too grandfatherly for the part, Caine deserves his Oscar nomination, both for his magnificent voiceover and for an explosive scene at the U.S. Embassy, where Fowler rages like King Lear. If the underrated Fraser is less convincing as Pyle, this is because Pyle is an idea, not a man. Still, he makes us feel the queasy darkness lurking behind that square jaw and all-American smile. When I read Greene's novel as a kid, I was awed by how worldly and wise it seemed. But watching Noyce's film, I felt what's trite about the story. In the character of Fowler, Greene helped launch the tiresome cliché of the world-weary reporter who eventually discovers he must take sides, which is precisely what happens here. And Pyle, too, is a stereotype, the American innocent abroad of Henry James or Mark Twain, but now mutated into a villain whose villainy lies in his ignorant rectitude. He's the kind of guy who will destroy a village to save it. Greene had no great love for America, and though he turned out to be prescient about Vietnam, the limitation of his novel, and of this movie, is its simplistic view of America's world-saving innocence. It seems blind to the possibility that there might be times, as in Kosovo, when Pyle's can-do naivete might prove far more humanly useful than the intelligent Fowler's jaded realism. In fact, I must admit that the quiet American inside me finds something seductive in the idea of saving Vietnam, saving Kosovo, and now saving Iraq. There's a certain romantic grandeur to the conception, the possibility of remaking a wounded country, if not the whole world, that stirs something deep and good in our national soul. But one of the great reasons to see the quiet American is to be reminded that, if we aren't careful, the admirable desire to save the world can be very dangerous to ourselves and to those we're trying to save.
John Powers is film critic and media columnist for LA Weekly.